had a hilarious conversation walking up the drive this morning, where I said, nice top. She said, I chose it because it goes with the colour of my PowerPoint slides. And I thought, now there is the advantage of having a woman preach this morning. In 25 years of preaching, that thought has never even entered my head. That may have something to do with it. Let me pray. So Jesus, thank you for bringing Linda to Maybridge. Thank you for the gifts that you have entrusted to her. Thank you for the life experience, some of it sad and painful, through which she has learnt and tested Jesus, and through which we in turn believe us. As we think about following you this morning, I pray that you bless and anoint my sister so that we hear from you.
Big platform. And when Andy gave me the text for this morning, I just wondered why. And then I looked at Joe, and I looked at Andy, and my mum says the best things come in small packages. But this morning's text is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and now Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree. See him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he had gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and open our hearts to hear what you will say. I think this is such a familiar story. It's a story that must rate amongst the favourite stories of Sunday school and school assemblies. I didn't have a church upbringing, but even I knew this story of Zacchaeus from way back. And it's one of those stories I think children love, because they can relate to it. They can see themselves in this story, the frustration of not being able to see something that's exciting because big people are standing in front of them. And I think most children love to or long to scramble on trees. So here we've got a well-known story, an account of a man who met Jesus and that encounter transformed him. So we're going to look closely at what happens to Zacchaeus and map his spiritual journey, his movement from being self-centred to interested seeker to saved sinner. So first let me set the scene. Jericho was one of the three main tax centres in Judah. Zacchaeus was called a tax farmer. He had successfully bid for and purchased the concession for collecting local customs taxes and tolls in that district. This was a Roman tax on trade. And Jericho, at that time of Jesus, was a busy, thriving trade centre. All around was desolate wilderness, but Jericho was strategically placed at a crossroads, and the main roads from Syria, Egypt, Asia, Damascus, Jerusalem, they sort of converged on that area around Jericho. So there was a lot of trade going on. And Zacchaeus was this tax farmer who collected tax on the movement of trade. He would have paid quite a considerable amount of money up front to Rome and then charged the people whatever he thought he could get away with. He was chief tax collector, so he no longer did the dirty work himself. He had others collecting the taxes and he would simply take his percentage. He was wealthy, he was powerful, and although he was despised by many of his countrymen because he worked for the enemy, he was a successful man, and he had status, and he would have been moving among the upper echelons of society. So in our story, Zacchaeus is out and about among the crowds with one intention. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He didn't want to just have a glimpse of Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. I don't think this was simple, idle curiosity. I don't believe Zacchaeus merely heard a few things about Jesus as a teacher, a healer, perhaps even friend of sinner, and thought to himself, you know what? I think I'll just wander down there and see this man for myself. No, I think there's a deeper look going on here. He wanted to see who Jesus was. The text says that he sought to see who Jesus was. It signifies a real seeking for a purpose. I believe that there was some driving force already at work in Zacchaeus. I would call that Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit stirring deep in Zacchaeus a longing for, a hunger, a desire for something more in life. Success and power didn't satisfy. He was already on that journey, seeking to see who Jesus was. And the reason I believe that is because of what Zacchaeus did when he realised that he couldn't see over the crowd. He did something quite outrageous. You have to get into the mindset of the culture of the time. You see, in 21st century Britain, it is not unusual to see men of maturity and status and distinction, running in public. Running for the train, running for the bus. I've been down to the seafront and I've seen the Reverend Joe Davis running for all his worth. And I still hold him in respect. But at the time of Jesus, among the Jewish people, for a man to run in public was shameful, unbecoming, an immediate loss of respect among his peers. That's why people, when they heard Jesus tell this parable of the prodigal son, where he says that the father ran out to meet the son, they would have been shocked. Because that's not what men of dignity do. But Zacchaeus did. He was willing to lose his pride, his dignity, his status. He was willing to let go of something that he had worked hard to achieve, something that had cost him more than the money. His reputation amongst his family, friends, and the people in the town, the people who called him sinner. That's what it had cost him to build up this position in society, and he was willing to let go of it all simply to see who Jesus was. So there had to be something going on, some strong desire drawing him, moving him forward. In outreach and evangelism, we use a tool called the Engel Scale, and it's a tool by which we map someone's spiritual growth, and we've got up, if we can, a modified version of that. Have people move through these stages as they come to faith and then move on in their discipleship, going from no framework of God right through being interested in Jesus, aware of personal need, and then to repentance and faith, and then on through into discipleship, this angle scale, and you can map where Zacchaeus is in on this angle scale, that he's aware of believing God, he's aware of Jesus, he's interested in Jesus, he's aware of some basic facts about Jesus, and then he's aware of personal need. You can see him moving through that process. Zacchaeus, having abandoned all dignity, is now perched up a tree. He's looking out for Jesus. He's tentative, he's safe, because he's up there hidden in the tree, but nevertheless he is seeking for something. He's looking towards Jesus. Now that's perhaps how some of you are feeling this morning. The life you've built for yourself is okay, but something is missing. You're intrigued by what you've heard of Jesus. You perhaps know a little bit about him, but you want to know him more. But it's challenging. Zacchaeus risked everything when he ran and climbed up that tree. He chose not to let his pride get in the way. Well, first Zacchaeus shocked the crowd by running, and then it was Jesus' turn to do something shocking. Jesus came along and he stopped beneath the tree where Zacchaeus was perched, and he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And these key words, "I must stay at your house today." There's a real sense of urgency here. I think Jesus sees the real seeking heart in Zacchaeus, and he knows that now is his moment. This is the moment for Zacchaeus. When I came to faith, I'd been around in church for quite a little while. I had a real wake-up call spiritually when my best friend's baby had been stillborn. And I knew then that somehow, even though I couldn't understand or explain it, that I needed to centre my life on Jesus. But I did not do anything immediately. I was coming to church. That was a good thing. I was singing the hymns and enjoying it and listening to the sermons. Didn't always make sense, but I was there. I was involved. I was very much on the fringe of things, but at least I was there. Then one Sunday, the minister, after he preached this sermon, he invited people to come forward if they wanted to know Jesus personally. Now, don't ask me how, because one minute I'm sitting very safely in my pew, and the next minute I'm walking to the front. And at that time, I just found that I was letting go of what was keeping me safe on the fringes. And that, if you like, was the moment for me. That was my moment. I began an adventure then. A lady came and prayed with me. She spoke over me. She told me that I had just begun the greatest adventure of my life. Didn't understand what she meant, but I didn't know. And if you want adventure in your life, let me encourage you to put Jesus at the centre. But back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard these words, "I must stay at your house today." And he responded. Now I find the English language sometimes quite frustrating because you can't really get, the words are sometimes quite cold, and we need to get to the heart of these words. The imperative, "I must." Zacchaeus, today you have to make a choice. Today you have to make a choice. Jesus said, "I must stay at your house today." And that word to stay means to remain and abide at your house. This is no just casual popping in for a cup of tea. This is remain, abide in your house today. And the house is the place where Zacchaeus dwells. It's the place he inhabits. You've got to remember, Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. His life work had been to amass this wealth, sometimes by unjust means. And with that money, he built a life of power and status. The status was potentially in shreds because of the running, but there was more work to do. and Jesus knew that. The crowds didn't like it. Jesus going as a guest to a sinner's house. That was the shocking thing Jesus did. But again, culturally, we have to get behind what that means. To go as a guest to someone's house was a declaration of intimate fellowship and trust. The crowd were not happy that Zacchaeus was. We're told that Zacchaeus came down from the tree at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. And again, the root word of that word welcome is that Zacchaeus received Jesus. He received Jesus with joy into the place where he went. I believe Zacchaeus at that point took another step on that angry scale. Now, we have no idea what took place in that meeting in Zacchaeus' house. Neither do we know what Jesus talked about. All we know is that with apparent spontaneity, Zacchaeus stood up and let go of his wealth. Here and now, I give all my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. I'd love to go into that passage a little bit more in more detail, because it's got a sense of jubilee about it and Jesus establishing kingdom values in our hearts, but I'm watching the clock and we don't have time. But this is reckless abandonment. This is a heart response from Zacchaeus to receiving Jesus into the place where he dwells. I said when I came to faith, this lady prayed for me and told me that I've just begun the best adventure of my life. Well, not long after that, that dear lady died. And I went to her funeral. I'd never been to a truly Christian funeral before. And I was not expecting a celebration, but it was a celebration. It was a celebration of this lovely lady's life, with testimonies of her faithfulness, her love for Jesus, her kindness and generosity. And the minister read some words of a poem that were written in the front of her Bible. And I was so taken, inspired by this lady's love for Jesus and her faithful walk with Jesus, that I wrote the words of that poem in the front of my Bible. And it's still there. This isn't my first Bible. I've worn out quite a number over the years, but it's still here. And these are words that have helped shape my life over the last 30-something years. To give and give and give again what God has given thee, to spend thyself, nor count the cost, to serve right gloriously the God who gave all worlds to God and all there to be. This self-giving inspiration. Now, I feel really bad talking about this morning, because I don't do this very well. I'm not like that all the time. My heart wants to spend myself in the name of the Lord, but I don't want to hold on to stuff, but I do. Even this week, God challenged me about stuff that I hold on to, things that I drift into a safe place, a comfortable place. And it becomes so familiar with me. Even though I'm part of ministry and I'm doing all these things, I do it from a safe place. And Jesus challenged me on that even this day. When Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today," we can hear him say to each one of us that he must remain, abide in the places where we dwell, in the places we inhabit, to be the centre of everything in our lives, every aspect of our lives. When we centre our lives around Jesus, it's like centrifugal force. And there's this coming together with Jesus at the centre of our lives, and that centrifugal force forces those other things that we have built up in our lives forces them to the periphery, our careers, our status, our roles in the church, our bank balances, our relationships, our Facebook time, our PlayStation time, all of that moves out to the periphery. They're still a part of our lives. They're still there. Sometimes they're very important parts of our lives. But Jesus at the centre. Jesus centred on everything. He said, I must stay at your house today. It's an imperative. I must remain, abide in the places you dwell. In the places you dwell. The response of Zacchaeus was reckless abandonment. He surrendered his hold on that which had hold of him. He let go of his wealth. Revelation 3:20, it was one of the first verses I learnt by heart when I became a Christian. I did it in the Good News version, but this is the NIV. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. These are words spoken to a lukewarm church, Christian believers who were neither hot nor cold. They thought they were doing okay. They were very skilled at doing church, but God wanted so much more for them. His invitation to them was for intimate fellowship with Jesus right in the heart of where they dwell. Wherever you are on that end or scale, Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. If we read on from that verse in Revelation, it says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The outcome for Zacchaeus was that Jesus spoke affirmation over him. He spoke restoration over him. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. This is grace. This is radical grace. Not what he deserved, but what Christ gave to him. The adventure had begun for Zacchaeus. And so had his transformation. He was reconciled, restored, brought back to the place, the dwelling place that he was created to have. He was created to be centered on Christ, as each and every one of us is. And Jesus' words brought him back to that. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. And he is still doing that today. Saving those who are lost who have never known him. But also saving the lost who have settled down somewhere along the journey. I don't know where you're at today. Whether you're on fire and mountaintop experience, or whether after the mountaintop experience, you've settled into a comfortable and safe pathway. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. I must remain and abide in the places where you dwell. Lord, may we be attentive to what you're saying to us. Forgive us if we've been distracted by other things or if we've settled down into a safe place. Holy Spirit, pour out your spirit of adventure upon us. Strengthen us so that we may be reckless in our abandonment. May we too let go of those things that have hold of us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this time now is to reflect upon it. Thanks. As a time of response. We may have been asking God questions recently, we're looking for answers, he may want to just tell us something. This time is just to be able to connect with God because he loves us. I don't want to ask you to stand, I want to ask you to worship. Whether you want to be sat down to worship or to be stood up for space, or if you want to lie down on the floor for all I have. As Zacchaeus was reckless in his pursuit of Jesus, may we be reckless and undignified as we worship this morning. As we sing this first song, I would like to invite you just to place up your hands for a few moments before we begin to receive.